Rüdiger. In the last session, we had discussed the dynasties in Kali Yuga and the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Now we will, towards the end of that chapter, towards the end of the second chapter, one verse comes where it is said that, although 43rd verse of the second chapter, although the foolish accept the body made of earth, water and fire as me and this earth as mine, in every case they have ultimately abandoned both their mind and the earth and passed away into oblivion. Right? Then next verse says, my dear King Parikshit, all these kings who tried to enjoy the earth by their strength were reduced by the force of time to nothing more than historical accounts. So this is how the previous chapter ends, where Sukadeva Goswami says that the kings who ruled the earth could not rule perpetually for the rest of eternity. They had to leave at one point. So their rulership is temporary, right? Like bubbles on water. So continuing that theme, Sukadeva Goswami describes Bhumi Gita, who also laments for the condition of all these kings. So kings were trying to conquer the earth, trying to claim ownership of the earth. So Mother Bhumi is pitying them and laughing at them. And she was very sad because they were not in proper consciousness. Right? So Sukadeva Goswami describes that Bhumi Gita. This is called Bhumi Gita. Shri Shuka Uvacha Drishtvatmani Jaye Vyagran Nripan Hasati Bhur Iyam Ahoma Vijigi Shanti Mrityoh Kridanakan Nripaha.
Sukadeva Goswami said, seeing the kings of this earth busy trying to conquer her, the earth herself laughed. She said, just see how these kings, who are actually playthings in the hands of death, are desiring to conquer me.
They are just puppets in the hands of the puppeteer, death modes. But still they are trying to conquer Bhumi Devi. So earth is laughing at them. And such a kings, such demoniac kings are like a burden for the earth. Actually, Prabhupada in one purport, he writes, third canto, I think fourth chapter or second chapter, where this destruction of Yadu dynasty thing is discussed. There Prabhupada speaks about burden of beast and burden of love. Krishna thinks that this Yadus would be a burden on earth. She will not be able to bear the heavy burden of such great warriors, so many great warriors. So I want to remove them also. So in that context, Prabhupada writes that actually all these kings or people were not burdened for the earth. Earth is bearing, so many mountains and such big buildings and so many trees and so many things earth is holding. So few human beings are not a big deal for earth. It is a burden. And on top of it, if it is Lord's associates, it's like a burden of love for Mother Earth, not burden of beast. So here actual burden for Mother Earth is adharma. When kings become unrighteous, she become like she feels that burden. It says she is bearing the burden of beast, like that. So now Kali Yuga kings would be like that, and they desire to conquer.
Kamayesha Narendranam Mohasyad Vidushamapi Yenafeno Bame Pinde Yeti Vishram Hitanrupa.
Great rulers of men, even those who are learned, meet frustration and failure because of a material lust. Driven by lust, these kings place great hope and faith in the dead lump of a place called the body. Ever though the material frame is as fleeting as bubbles of foam on water.
It is as fleeting as bubbles of foam on water. And they are putting faith on dead lump of flesh called this material body. Material body is just a dead lump of flesh. So we can see so many examples of people who are like lusty. So Ravana is there, Kamsa, Jarasandha. So they are just after the dead lump of flesh body. They want some physical pleasures. And specifically, lusty kings are mentioned here. So just like a bubble, how long will it appear on the surface of water? What is its lifespan? So compared to the eternity of the soul, their kinghood, you know, kingship is also like bubble and water only. Right? People don't realize it and they get attached to it. So Mother Earth is lamenting for them. And what is the imagination of those lusty kings? That is elaborated in third and fourth verses. Purvam nirvijya shadvargam jeshyamo rajamantrinaha tatah sachiva paurapta karindran asya kantakan evam kramena jeshyamaha prithivim sagaramekhalam ityasabaddha hridaya napashyantyantikentakam.
Kings and politicians imagine, first I will conquer my senses and mind, then I will subdue my chief ministers and rid myself of the thorn picks of my advisors, citizens, friends and relatives, as well as the keepers of my elephants. In this way, I will gradually conquer the entire earth, because the hearts of these leaders are bound by great expectations. They fail to see death waiting nearby.
So, this is the consciousness of the lusty kings, nature of their expectations. Purvam nirvijya shadvargam jeshyamo rajamantrinaha. So, purvam means first, sabse pehle. Nirvijya shadvargam, I'll conquer my senses. This seems glorious, right? The beginning seems very glorious. Oh, even Kali Yuga kings or demoniac kings are also thinking that I will conquer my senses first. But for what purpose? To enjoy sense gratification. First, I will conquer my senses and mind. Jeshyamo rajamantrinaha tatah sachiva paura apta karindram asya kantakan. So later, I will conquer all the other kings. I will conquer the ministers and advisors. Then tatah sachiva, then relatives, then citizens and apta and family members. Everyone I will conquer. Right? And finally, I will conquer the earth. Evam kramena jeshyamaha prithivim sagaramekhalam. After I conquer like this, I will then conquer prithivi, entire earth. These are the demoniac plans of rulers, right? And last two lines are more striking. Iti asa baddha hridaya na pashyami antike antakam. Iti ashabaddha, ashabaddha, even devotee is also called ashabaddha, right? He is desirous of mercy of Krishna, but these people are desirous of sense gratification, right? To conquer people, conquer earth. So, what is the result of that? Na pashyanti antike antakam. Although death is so imminent and so nearby, right, their own end, that is antakam, they will not see. Na pashyanti. Even in earlier canto, second canto also, Sukadeva Goswami says, Dehapatya kalatradeshu atmasainyeshu asatvapi tesham pramatto nidhanam pashyannapi napashyati. Right? People see that many people are dying, but still they will think that I will continue to live, I will continue to enjoy, I will continue to be the owner or proprietor of this earth, this portion of earth. So there are three levels of seeing or hearing. So first level is pashyannapi na pashyati, right? They see, but actually they don't see. Although they see many people are dying, still it's as good as that they are not seeing.
Duryodhana saw Krishna, but it's as good as he didn't see Krishna only. He didn't get the actual benefit of seeing Krishna. This is a function of external energy. Second level is a person actually sees, right? So he can understand things as they are. Third level is a person does not see but sees. So a person who has spiritual eyes, spiritual vision, he may just read the scriptures, right? He may not actually see the details of how this so many things are functioning in this world, but still he will see them in actual light, more than the persons who are actually present there and sees things. For example, somebody, some new devotee is having some problem, a senior devotee of say 20, 30 years who is practicing. Although he is not involved in that problem and issue, just he will hear something, he will understand the situation much clearly compared to the person who is involved there, and he can give a solution. That is like, he sees, he does not see but sees. And there is another, beyond these three also there is another level, which is more or less similar to first level. Pashyannapi na pashyati. He sees but they don't see. That is Vrajavasis, pure devotees. They see so many activities of Krishna, it's as good as they don't see, they didn't see only. Krishna exhibits so much majesty, he lifts Govardhan and all. They don't pay so much attention to it. They are overwhelmed by their love for Krishna. Like that. So these people are belonging to the first category, function of material energy. Now, to satisfy their greed for power, determined politicians, dictators and military leaders undergo severe austerities and sacrifice with much self-discipline. So that's how it begins. Purvam nirjitya shadvargam. I will conquer my mind and senses first. So with only selfish motives. Right? So sense control which is done with selfish motives is not very glorious. Right? So our goal decides the glory of our work. The work may seem glorious. Oh, he is doing austerities, he is controlling senses and mind. But what is the goal of all of it? To control, ultimately. To control the entire world. I will control my senses today so that I can control, you know, bigger section of people tomorrow. Hiranyakashipu controlled his senses and then did so many austerities only to gain control over, entire world. Right? So, and they fail to see the death waiting nearby. So this urge to control life indicates two things. One is attachment to the body. The person is there, he is so attached to the body that even if he realizes that this body cannot sustain, I have to quit this body, still he wants to continue in that body. He will request the doctor, please increase my life for one more year, 10 more days. He bargains like that. Another indication that this urge to continue life is that soul is eternal. Because the living entity doesn't want to die, that indicates that he is an eternal being. Right? There is no end for the desire for permanence. Yes. So this is from this verse. Now we'll go to the fifth verse. Samudravaranam jitva Mam Vishantyabdhimojasa Kiyad Atma Jayasya Saitan Muktir Atma Jaye Phalam.
After conquering all the land on my surface, these proud kings forcibly enter the ocean to conquer the sea itself.
Why they want to conquer the sea? Inside the sea there are so many jewels. Right, they want to take those jewels also. Not fishes, jewels. They are interested in fishes also. Yes.
Next. What is the use of their self-control, which is aimed at political exploitation? The actual goal of self-control is spiritual liberation.
Okay, the actual goal of this austerity should be spiritual liberation, not this sense control, not this political exploitation. Mother Earth herself says this. Aradhito yadi hari tapasa tadakyam, naradhito yadi hari tapasa tadakyam. So tapasya is redundant if one does not worship the Lord. Okay. Next, sixth verse.
Yam visrijaiva manava tatsutascha kurudvaham गतायथागतं युद्धे तां मां जेष्यन्त्यबुद्धयः.
Of the Kurus, the earth continued as follows. Although in the past great men and their descendants have left me, departing from this world in the same helpless way they came into it, even today foolish men are trying to conquer me.
So previously saintly kings tried to conquer their senses or conquer other people to propagate dharma. Now later, as Kali Yuga progresses, demoniac kings conquer to propagate adharma. Right? So previously great kings like Manu and Priyavrat and so many other great kings were there. They gave up at the right time, they gave up the kingdom and went to forest. But these people are trying to conquer me. So earlier she says, although in the past great men and their descendants have left me, this could indicate Manu and all the great kings also. They left. So departing from this world in the same helpless way as they came into it. Right? So later Mother Earth also says, whether it is great king or a demoniac king, ultimately they have to leave me. Right? Either birth or death is helpless. A living entity takes birth in certain material body, in certain geographical location, in a certain family, helplessly. And he has to leave that body helplessly. He has to leave that situation and comforts, everything, helplessly. He is not in control. Next verse, 7th verse. Matkrite pitru putranam bhratruvanam chapi vigraha jayate hyasatam rajye mamatabadha chetasam.
For the sake of conquering me, materialistic persons fight one another. Fathers oppose their sons and brother fight one another because their hearts are bound to possessing political power.
So there is disputes or fighting or competition between fathers and sons also, amongst brothers, loving brothers also. Earlier there was a fight between Ram and Bharat, fight in the sense argument between Ram and Bharat. Bharat says, I will do vanvas, you go and rule the throne. And Ram says, I will do vanvas, this is instruction to me, don't manipulate the instruction to get some favorable outputs. So you should go and rule the kingdom, this is our father's order. So there was a competition for renunciation amongst, say, Manu and Priyavrata also. They were, in one sense, they are competing. Who will renounce first? But when the consciousness is not proper, there is a competition for enjoyment. There was a competition for enjoyment between Yayati and his sons. Okay? Yayati, finally one son gave him the youth, but other three sons, they said, we will not give the youth. Another son said, he will not give youth, Yadu, because Krishna will descend. That was a good reason. But other three people said, hey, how can I give the youth? They wanted to enjoy. So competition for enjoyment, competition for renunciation. That shows the consciousness of those kings. Manu and Priyavrata, Bharat and Ramchandra. That's good. Their consciousness was very good. Like that. That's why they were eager to renounce. And also in 5th canto, 18th chapter, in prayers of Harivarsha, prayers in the Harivarsha to Hayasirsha by Bhadraswa, I think. He says, even a son, a person, he sees his father dying and then he wants to take his wealth and enjoy. When he sees his son also dying, he wants to take his wealth also and enjoy. Right? So he was shamelessly inclined to enjoy the wealth and sense gratification only, whether he taking property from his sons or fathers. Right? So now, in old days, when say father gets retired, say in 50s, late 50s or 60s, early 60s, then he doesn't have much to do. Right? So he'll get little amount of pension, which is not very much substantial compared to what he was getting earlier. So he would just depend on sons.
right? Son would give him whatever 50 rupees, 100 rupees, and then he will go to movie and then come back. So this would happen. So a retired father would maintain himself at the cost of the remuneration of his son, right? So although he is old, his tendency to enjoy will not come down, right? So that is seen. There is conflict again. In joint families, that will happen, right? And there is conflict, there is nuclear families. So brothers will fight with one another. Who will get more share? Who will get more share? Other day I was sharing few examples. So now, eighth verse. Mamaiveyam mahi krishna. Nate moodhe divadinaha. Spardhamana mitho ghananti. Mriyante mat krite nripaha.
Political leaders challenge one another. All this land is mine. It's not yours, you fool. Thus, they attack one another and die.
So, yeah, this is what Duryodhan was saying whole life. Right? That's Rashtra, Duryodhan, they were saying this only. But the actual truth is, Supreme Lord is the proprietor of all land. Moktaram vignatapasam sarvaloka maheswaram. So even in a God-conscious world, this is very important. It's not that in a Krishna-conscious community, these boundaries will not exist. Even within a Krishna-conscious organization also, temple also, right, this is our department. So departments are allocated to different devotees. Different responsibilities are given. Resources are shared. Manpower is shared. Time is shared. Money is shared. Right? Everyone takes responsibility over their resources, manpower, etc. Right? But everyone is in the consciousness that everything is meant for Krishna. Supreme Lord is the proprietor of all land. Even in a God-conscious world, political boundaries exist. But in such a God-conscious atmosphere, political tensions are greatly eased. Because this is not just office, this is family also. The person whom we are dealing with, who may be in a different department, we don't have an official relationship only with him. He's our ashram mate also, he's our brother also. Right? We live with him, he's our family member also. That's why things get eased. And people of all lands welcome each other and respect each other's right to live in peace. So whether it is within a temple, different categories, or different temples, or different countries, different sections, when everyone is watering the root, right, everyone is dedicated to Krishna consciousness, right, then the managerial issues or whatever, political things, are supposed to be smooth, like that. So Prabhupada writes in 4th canto, 30th verse, 30th chapter, 8th verse, that very popular verse. Maharaj took that Bhagavatam class in Prem Mahotsav also. Varam vraniham bhadram vo. In that purport, Prabhupada writes, actually there are no two opinions, right? So sometimes even in devotee community also there is difference of opinion and then some disputes because of leaning towards material things. Prabhupada writes like that. So 9th verse. And once in 2013, Kartik Yatra Maharaj was saying about Prabhupada's dealing. So somebody was donating a land, you know, for ISKCON there in Vrindavan. Then Prabhupada said, get the deal signed. Right? In that condition, Radhananda Maharaj was giving this lesson that Prabhupada was always dependent on Krishna. He is in his transcendental consciousness. At the same time, he respected the ways of this material world. How this material world functions. Unless you have something in writing in Kali Yuga, some official stamp and seal, people will not say, this land is yours. It's not that everyone will agree that this land is yours. Where are the papers? Show. Okay, where are the boundaries? Okay, till what point is your land? So Prabhupada said, get the deal signed. So, but devotee does all that with the consciousness that Krishna is the ultimate proprietor. So last set of verses in the Bhumi Gita. 9th verse. Pruthuh pururava gadhir nahusho bharato arjunah mandhata sagaro ramah khatvango dhunduha raghu
Trinabindurvyayatischa Sa Shiryatihi Shantanurgayah Bhagiratha Kuvalayashva Kukustho Naishadhonruga Hiranyakasipurvritto Ravanoloka Ravana Namuchi Shambaro Bhoumo Hiranyaksho Tattaraka Anyechabaho Daityam Rajanoye Maheshwarah Sarve Sarvavidasurah Sarve Sarvajitojitah Mamatam Mayavartanta Krittochair Martya Dharmina Kathavasesha Kalena Yakritartha Krita Vibho.
Such kings as Prithu, Pururva, Gadhi, Nahusha, Bharat, Kartya Virya, Arjun, Mandhata, Sagar, Ram, Katwang, Dhunduha, Raghu, Trinabandhu, Yayati, Sharyati, Shantanu, Gaya, Bhagirath, Kuvalya Yashva, Kukuts, Naishadha, Nriga, Hiranyakashipu, Vritra, Ravan, who made the whole world lament, Namuchi, Shambhara, Bhoma, Hiranyaksh and Taraka, as well as many other demons and kings who possessed great powers of control over others, were all full of knowledge, heroic, all-conquering and unconquerable. Nevertheless,
so some of these kings mentioned here were good kings, some were bad kings. So, especially the word Rama comes, this Rama is not the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. So, there is another king called Rama, like that. So, their fate is discussed by Mother Bhumi here. Whether a saintly king like Prithu Maharaj and others, or a demoniac king like Ravana or Hiranyakashipu, etc., Kamsa, etc., everyone has to leave earth, right? They cannot continue to be in the rulership, right? So that is the point. So we may be a little wondering why some good kings are also mentioned here, like that. Yes.
Nevertheless, O Almighty Lord, although they lived their lives intensely trying to possess me, these kings were subject to the passage of time, which reduced them all to mere historical accounts. None of them could permanently establish their rule.
None of them could permanently establish their rule, whether good or bad. So, here in the last paragraph of this purport, modern political leaders cannot even temporarily control the universe. They possessing hopelessly fragmented power, enjoying a minuscule lifespan and lacking deep existential intelligence, modern leaders inevitably are symbols of frustration and misdirected ambition. So this is like heavy criticism of the modern leaders. So one principle we can learn from this description is that nobody is irreplaceable in this world. One king goes, another will come, king can come and replace him, right? So today, someone is, even we can take a personal application lesson within our setup also. In our devotional service, we may be doing some service. We may be doing it very effectively, very nicely. Someone else will take it over and then he will do nicely. We need to be attached to the principle of serving, not the nature of service. Right? Services will keep change. The persons who are handling certain services will also keep changing. So all these kings, they got replaced. So many are very good kings also. Some other king came. Uttanapada was ruling so nicely. But he thought, okay, Dhruva is ready. I don't have to rule. I may be expertise. I may have the expertise. I may still have the, power and physical strength to rule. Still, let him take over. I have to focus more on my dedication to Supreme Lord. So like that, so many Rajarshis also had this consciousness. For example, Hanumanji was there. He was a hero in Ramayana battle. But in Mahabharat battle, he was just shouting. When Bhima was shouting, along with him, Arjuna was Hanumanji was shouting.
sitting on the flag of Arjuna, right? So that was the role given to him, that was the service given to him. And in another context, he got a better service. Better service in the sense where he can show his prowess. Some other place he was giving in a service where others are made heroes. Okay. In Lanka battle, Hanumanji was the hero. But in Kurukshetra battle, Arjuna had to be the hero. This is Krishna's will. They just surrender to Krishna's will and then do whatever service is given to them. Like that. So when we understand that we are not the doer, then we will experience the same amount of bliss in whatever service we do. 14th. So this should give a very important lesson of detachment. All of them, they became mere names in the history. If they are good kings, definitely they will set good examples, but they cannot hold to their positions for the rest of eternity. Like that. Next two verses are very important. Why so many kings' names are mentioned? And many of these kings, we have read the details of their activities also in the 9th canto and the many cantos earlier. But why so many kings' names are mentioned in names and stories are mentioned in Bhagavatam? Chakravarti or Sukadeva Goswami gives the reason for it. Right? Yes, Prabhu. Gadi is father of Vishwamitra. 9th canto it comes. Bharata.
Bharata and Sagar.
Sagara.
Sagara and Ram and Katwang. Who is this fellow? Is it Dunduha?
Dunduha. Dunduha. 9th canto one. Dunduhara. Dundu. Some one name comes. But I don't know whether exactly this person is that person.
What he did?
He was... actually, Dunduhara is a demon. So somebody, he was sitting on the hump of a bull and then killed this Dundu demon. Kukusta.
Indra killed him, I think.
Indra became the bull and then he sat on Indra bull and then killed this demon. I think his name seems similar.
And Raghu, who is that?
Raghu could be our dynasty, Ram's dynasty, Raghu. Although it's not mentioned, Prabhu, we can okay, only...
Trinabindu
comes in 9th canto. I don't exactly remember the story, but he comes in...
There is any story mentioned about Trinabindu, no?
And Trinabindu was mentioned in... Trinabindu, one Trinabindu is there in Ramayana also.
Is there?
Ramayana Trinabindu is there.
Okay. He was a demon, a demoniac king?
I'm not very sure. Just one small...
Ayati? And Shariyati, Shariyati is...
Shariyati is Sukanya's father.
Ah, correct. But there the highlight goes to Sukanya more.
Correct.
Shariyati only goes with her to the forest and then...
And Shariyati had sons and the dynasty had to continue that. His dynasty is very elaborately described.
Oh, right.
Although his activities are very less.
Oh, right. Shantanu, Gaya.
Gaya comes in 5.15.
Yeah, correct. Very. And Bhagiratha, Kuvala. Who is this Kuvalayashva?
Kuvalayashva. He's also popular,
and
but...
And Kakuch?
Kakusta is the person who sat in Indravaha. His name is
correct.
Indravaha also. He sat in...
And Naishada?
Naishadha, not sure. Bro.
And Druga?
Druga comes in 10th canto.
Correct. And Hiranyakashipu, Vritra, Ravana. And then Namuchi. Namuchi is the fellow who was killed with the foam...
Foam weapon.
Yeah. And Shambhara is the same who took son of Krishna kidnapped.
Shambhara demon, correct.
Yeah. Bhavamasura, Hiranyakasipu.
Bhavamasura, Narakasura.
And who is Taraka, Prabhu? Taraka.
Taraka also. That is Tripurasura. That is Tripurasura, no? No, that is Tripura. Tripurasura. Shiva killed him.
Oh, is it? Is coming in the Shalva battle, it comes? No.
Just check me.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
This list is much longer than what Krishna spoke to the liberated kings. You know, he told only 4 or 5 there. Here it's much more.
Exhausting.
Only thing is, it's amazingly presenting both pious kings and you know, demoniac kings, both also.
Next verse, 14th verse. This is 14 and 15 are important. Kathayimaste kathita mahiyasam vitaya lokeshu yasah pareyusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vacho vibhutir natu paramarthyam.
Dev Goswami said, O mighty Parikshit, I have related to you the narrations of all these great kings who spread their fame throughout the world and then departed. My real purpose was to teach transcendental knowledge and renunciation. Stories of the kings lend power and opulence to these narrations, but do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect of knowledge.
So here he says, why I described, you know, the stories of so many kings? The reason is, third line, Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Vibho is like the word used to address a superior. Here Sukadeva Goswami is using that word Vibho to Parikshit. Oh, mighty Parikshit Maharaj, Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya. To teach Vijnana, transcendental knowledge, and Vairagya, renunciation. I spoke the so many stories of so many kings. Right? So, apparently, lessons, though apparently dealing with kings or other mundane subject matter, in relation to Krishna, all ordinary topics become transcendental narrations with the power to bring the reader to the perfection of life. So, apparently, someone may be attracted to the stories of kings and what happened to him, the, you know, intrigue, etc. But the purpose of telling the stories of all these dynasties is to invoke vairagya and vijnana, realization and knowledge and renunciation. So these kings had a realization of Supreme Lord. That's why I spoke to him. Chakravarti writes like this. So, O great king, you are also like them. Parikshit is also like them. So in first canto, 5th chapter, 11th verse, purport, Chakravartipada writes, something similar verse comes there. He says, the general import of the discussion, 1.5.11, the general import of the discussion rather than each sentence. We need to focus on the general import of the discussion rather than each sentence and each word. There he says, thus the chapters and stories of Bhagavatam are all ornaments to Lord's glories. In other Puranas, however, many of the stories are there, but they are devoid of the Lord's glories. So same story which is mentioned in Bhagavatam may appear in some other place also. But in Bhagavatam, that story is meant to highlight the Lord's glories. But in some other place, it's just a story. History books, like that. Vritrasura is there. There, Indra, in some other place, Indra may be the hero. But here, Krishna's devotee and the devotional service done by Chitraketu and Vritrasura, that becomes the prominent lesson and prominent theme there. That is highlighted more than other things. Like that. In Bhagavatam, there are so many stories of kings only to teach devotional service. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are no stories of kings. Directly, only devotees are mentioned. Like it's purely about the interactions between the Lord and devotees and devotees and devotees. That is Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's more condensed. Yastuttama shloka guna anuvada sangiyate bhikshnamama amangalagna tameva nityam srunuyada bhikshnam
Krishne malam bhakti mabhipsamanah.
The person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna should hear the narration of Lord Uttama Shloka's glorious qualities, the constant chanting of which destroys everything inauspicious. The devotee should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies and should also continue his hearing throughout the day.
Regular daily assemblies is our morning Bhagavatam class. Throughout the day is Vidyapeetha Bhagavatam class. So, yastuttama shloka gunanuvadaha sangiyate abhikshnam amangalaghnaha. You see, in this verse, three-line verse, sangiyate abhikshnam means always. Nityam, constant, irregularly, on a daily basis. Then again, abhikshnam comes in the third line. Srunuyad abhikshnam. So the repetition is repeated. Right? We have to repeat. It is repeatedly said that we have to repeatedly hear these narrations of Krishna. Sangiyate abhikshnam amangalaghnaha. It completely removes all inauspiciousness. Tameva nityam srunuyad abhikshnam. Nitya means regularly you keep hearing. Abhikshna means constantly. That means regularly you hear some Krishna katha. And throughout the day you try to remember that Krishna katha. Abhikshnam is explained more in terms of ruminating or revising or recollecting or remembering what you have regularly heard. Right? It's not that 24/7 he will just sit and study the books or just hear the tapes and no other service. That is an extreme case of doing this. So sadhana and seva. Ultimately, if one hears so much about Krishna, he will develop a desire to serve him also. Right? While serving him, he will remember the glories of that person also. So other day we were discussing in the deity worship chapter, when we worship the deity, we will try to hear and learn more about that person whom we are worshipping. If one does only deity worship without knowing the person whom he is worshipping, it's like superficial, right? So after worshipping for some time, he will become more eager to hear and learn more about that person, more about Krishna, like that. So since any topic related to Krishna is auspicious and transcendental, the direct narration of Krishna's own activities, political and non-political, is certainly the supreme subject matter for hearing. The word nityam indicates regulated cultivation of topics of Krishna, and abhikshnam indicates constant remembrance of those regulated spiritual experiences. Remembrances. That is abhikshnam. So Chakravarti Bhat says, therefore one should hear the stories of these devotees. In the 14th verse he said, I have spoken the stories of so many kings who are devotees. Right? Therefore, you should constantly hear about devotees, about Krishna's devotees. So, about Krishna is one thing, about Krishna's devotees is second thing. Right? But in the talks about the stories of the Lord, one should hear the remarkable excellence in the stories of Krishna's eternal associates, which are superior even to the stories of great devotees. There are devotees in general, but there are eternal companions of Krishna. So, Vritrasara is a devotee of Krishna. Then, say, Ambarish Maharaj is a devotee of Krishna. Pandavas are devotees of Krishna. They're all devotees. But there are very special devotees like Yashodamayi, eternal companions of Krishna. Yashodamayi, Nanda Maharaj, Balramji. So their stories are also very important. And they are considered on a superior level compared to the general devotees also. But we can relate to, these Dasya Bhaktas also more. So one who desires pure bhakti should constantly hear the stories revealing the qualities of the Lord, which are found here and there in other cantos and found everywhere in 10th canto. So 4 points should be considered. Hearing about the Lord, hearing about the devotees, and hearing Bhagavatam, and hearing 10th canto in specific. And in 10th canto, hearing Vrindavan pastimes in specific. Amongst them, Krishna's childhood pastimes in specific. So like that. These are... All this is Krishna Katha, but there are gradations also. But one will approach these gradations depending on one's level of advancement and all. If you constantly hear Vrindavan Leela only, right, in the beginning sadhaka stage, then Like, that's like kind of imbalance. One may need other topics also. Like that. Condensed milk. So depending on digestion capacity, one takes. When digestion is poor, one has to take diluted milk. When digestion is okay, he can take rabdi. Next.
So, yeah, sravanam and seva also is needed because this hearing is emphasized so much. Service is not mentioned here. That's why in the purport it's mentioned. Abhikshanam indicates constant remembrance of such regulated spiritual experiences. Okay, next. Now Parikshit Maharaj asks a question. Sri Rajovacha Kenopayena Bhagavan Kaler Doshan Kalau Janah Abhidhamishyanti Pachitam Tanme Bruhi Yathamune Yugani Yuga Dharmamscha Manam Pralaya Kalpayoho Kalasyeshwara Rupasya Gatim Vishnor Mahatmanaha.
King Parikshit said, "My Lord, how can persons living in the age of Kali rid themselves of the cumulative contamination of this age? O great sage, please explain this to me."
So please. First question of Parikshit Maharaj is this. How can Kali Yuga people rid themselves of its contamination? After hearing the qualities of Kali Yuga in the second chapter, in third chapter Parikshit Maharaj is asking, how can this Kali Yuga contamination be removed? After hearing the hellish description in fifth canto last chapter, in sixth canto first chapter he asked, how can people be saved from entering hellish conditions? Right? So, and please understand that in the sixth chapter Parikshit Maharaj is leaving this body. And there are very few pages, few verses left. So he is in the last few minutes of his lifetime. In few minutes he is about to meet death. It's not a small thing. It's not that he is going on a journey, in few minutes he has to get down from the train. That's not a very big transition. He has to leave the body in few minutes. And he knows, everyone knows. But he is asking, how can people be protected from the contamination of Kali Yuga? How can Kali Yuga people be saved? So that shows the extent of a Vaishnava's compassion, right? So Vaishnava's compassion is deep, spontaneous, and complete. So Vaishnava's compassion is considered very deep because even in trouble, he thinks about the welfare of others. He himself is in trouble, he thinks about others. That's why his compassion is called deep. And his compassion is complete because he does not think about certain class of people. He did not say, how can Kali Yuga kings be saved? Because he belongs to Kshatriya community. So he says, everyone, entire humanity, right? How can everyone be protected from Kali Yuga? Then it's spontaneous. It is not dependent on any analysis. One may show compassion. It could be conditional compassion. If I become compassionate on him and do this favor to him, tomorrow he may do something for me. Or, okay, it's not like he just calculates. Okay, you know, these are the advantages, pros and cons. I think I will be implicated here if I do this. It's not like that. Without any analysis, spontaneously he would just come and he would have compassion for everyone. That's why Vaishnava's compassion is deep, complete, and spontaneous. Just like Vaishnava's surrender is spontaneous, his compassion is also spontaneous. If you remember in the episode of Uttara, when Ashwatthama released Brahmastra and Brahmastra was coming on towards her womb, then Uttara just ran towards Krishna. So there was Yudhishthira, Arjuna, then Bhima, so many great warriors were there, and she was directly connected to them as their daughter-in-law. Right? Uttara was directly connected as daughter-in-law to Pandavas. So when she is in trouble, the first person whom he should approach should be Arjuna, her own father-in-law, and definitely her husband's father, Arjuna, she is supposed to approach. Or if not, Bhima is there and so many other people are there. But with absolutely no calculation or analysis, she just runs towards Krishna, and none of the Pandavas were offended because of this. Right? So she is supposed to ask my help. How is she bypassing as and then taking Krishna's help. So Vaishnava's surrender is spontaneous. Vaishnava's taking shelter of Krishna is spontaneous. Vaishnava's compassion on fallen living entities is also spontaneous. So here, very spontaneously he is asking about, no analysis. In few minutes I have to die. Okay, what am I supposed to think and all? He's not asking that. How can Kali Yuga people be saved from contamination? And while in Bhagavatam class, we also may think about others. That is because of our lack of concentration on the class. But he is thinking about others in a compassionate way. Like that. Okay, 17th verse, he asks about different yugas. Yugani, yuga dharmamscha. So he asked about, speak to me about different ages of universal history. Second, yuga dharmamscha, what are the qualities of each age? Manam pralaya kalpayoh. So the maintenance means the duration, the timing, duration of cosmic maintenance and its destruction also, pralaya also. Then kalasheshwara rupasya gatim vishnur mahatmanah. And the movements of time, which is the direct representation of the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Right? He's asking also about movements of time. Right? Although he has very less time. But movements of time, because time is an energy of Krishna, it is not considered a material question. Chakravarti writes like this. Time is a representation of Supreme Lord. So he's asking about that also. He has already learnt about the details of time in 3rd canto, 11th chapter, calculation of time from atom. Right? The 3rd canto. And Kapil Dev section also, there are characteristics of time. Still he wanted to know about time, because another important feature of time is time destroys everything in four ways. That is the main theme of 12th canto. One of the important chapters is 4th chapter, the four categories of universal annihilation that happens by the course of time. So he wanted to know that also. So Sukadeva Goswami answers all these questions one by one. Right? One is about how people can get rid of themselves from Kali Yuga contamination, about Kali Yuga, about all the yugas and their qualities and destructions by the movements of time. Okay, 18th verse. So he started speaking about different yugas.
Sri Shuka Uvacha Krite Pravartate Dharmams Chatushpata Janair Dhritaha Satyam Dayatapodanam Itipada Vibhor Nrupa.
Shukadev Goswami said, my dear king, in the beginning, during Satyuga, the age of truth, religion is present with all four of its legs intact, and it is carefully maintained by the people of that age. These four legs of powerful religion are truthfulness, mercy, austerity, and charity.
Okay. Satyuga was standing on four legs of dharma. Satyam, daya, tapo, saucham. Here that saucham is mentioned as dhanam. So saucham and dhanam both are related with each other. Chakravartipad explains. So satyam, truthfulness, daya, compassion, tapa, austerity, dhanam is charity. Or sometimes it is saucham, cleanliness. These are the four legs of dharma. Just as there are four seasons, similarly there are four ages, right? So a season would come and stay for a couple of months, but an age or yuga will come and stay for hundreds and thousands of years. There are four ages. Here the satyam, then dhanam. Dhanam, actual charity means to avoid fearlessness to people, right? To give them freedom from misery and anxiety, not some material means of giving them some money and dollars. So Prabhupada says to protect the coat of a person who is drowning is foolishness. He has to lift the person like that. So sometimes by helping a person with some money or some whatever external material comforts also he needs also, if we help them through that medium, one may be able to serve the soul also. In that sense, arranging for the external needs of a person is not wrong, But just focusing on his physical needs only is not, doesn't mean it is a spiritual service, right? Next, the qualities mentioned here are universal, non-sectarian aspects of pious life. Oh, Kaliyuga stands on four legs for only for Hindus? Not like that. This is for everyone. Universal legs of this yuga. Next, 19th verse. The qualities of Satya Yoga people are mentioned. Santushta Karuna Maitraha Shantadanta Stitikshavaha Atma Rama Samadrishaha Prayashasramana Janaha.
The people of Satyuga are for the most part self-satisfied, merciful, friendly to all, peaceful, sober and tolerant. Mm. They take their pleasure from within, see all things equally and always endeavor diligently for spiritual perfection.
Okay. So these are the qualities of people of Satyuga. Next, 20th verse. 20 and 21 describe the qualities of Treta Yuga and the people, and Treta Yuga's people. Tretayam dharma padanam Turyam shohi yate shanaihi Adharma padair anritam Himsa santosha vigrahaihi.
In Treta Yuga, each leg of religion is gradually reduced by one quarter by the influence of the four pillars of irreligion. Lying, violence, dissatisfaction and quarrel.
So just like four pillars of dharma were there, these four pillars of adharma. They are anrita, himsa, asantosha and vigrahaihi, quarrel. By falsity, truth is diminished. By violence, mercy is diminished. By dissatisfaction, austerity is diminished. And by quarrel, charity and cleanliness are diminished. So this is how the four pillars of irreligion will destroy the four pillars of religion. So this will happen gradually as the ages progress. 21, the qualities of Treta Yuga people. Tada kriya tapo nishtham Nati himsra nalam pata Traivargikas traivriddham Varna brahmotara nripa.
In the Treta age, people are devoted to ritual performances and severe austerities. They are not excessively violent or very lusty after sensual pleasures. Their interest lies primarily in religiosity, economic development and regulated sense gratification. And they achieve prosperity by following the prescriptions of the three Vedas. Although in this age, society evolves into four separate classes, O king. Most people are Brahmanas.
Predominantly Brahmanical. And I was also not very clear about that. Quarrel, charity and cleanliness are diminished. And not much elaborate. Yesterday I was also wondering about this. Maybe I'll find out and I'll ask Radhika Vallabhar or someone. 22nd and 23rd about Dwapara Yuga. Tapasatya daya daneshu Ardham Hrasvati Dvapare Himsatushchandrita Dveshair Dharmasya Dharma Lakshanaihi.
In Dvapara is the religious qualities of austerity, truth, mercy, charity are reduced to one half by their irreligious counterparts. Dissatisfaction, untruth, violence and enmity.
So there are two legs. Then Yasya Yashasvino Mahashila Svadhyaya Dhyayane Rataha Adhyaha Kutumbino Hrishtam Varnaha Kshatra Dvijottaraha.
People are interested in glory and very noble. They devote themselves to the study of the Vedas, possess great opulence, support large families and enjoy life with vigor. Of the four classes, the Kshatriya and Brahmanas are most numerous.
Kalau tu dharma padana
Turyam so dharma hetubhi
In the age of Kali, only 1/4 of religious principles remains. That last remnant will continuously be decreased by the ever increasing principles of irreligion and will finally be destroyed.
One leg, and that will also be slowly destroyed. 25th verse.
Tasmin lubdha durachara nirdayaha shushka vairinaha durbhaga bhuri tarshascha sudradasottara prajaha.
In the age of Kali, people tend to be greedy, ill-behaved and merciless, and they fight one another without good reason. Unfortunate and obsessed with material desires, the people of Kali Yuga are almost all Shudras and barbarians.
So these are the qualities of Kali Yuga people. And Sukadeva Goswami describes more of those qualities in detail in the later verses. Now from 26th verse onwards, Sukadeva Goswami describes the effect of modes in different yugas. Barbarians are actually Yavanas. Maybe outside, bro. Because the Kala Yavana is considered a barbarian king in the 10th canto.
26th verse. Sattvam rajastama iti drishyante purushe gunah kala sanchoditaste vai parivartanta atmani.
The material modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, whose permutations are observed within a person's mind, are set into motion by the power of time.
So three modes are observed in a person's mind and are set into motion by the power of time. And in certain yugas also certain modes become more prominent. We discussed in 25th chapter of 11th canto. This is about modes. So in Satyuga, this mode of goodness is more prominent. In Kali Yuga, ignorance is more prominent. Right? So in the between yugas, there is a combination of the between modes. So according to Chakravarti Pad, within each age, other three ages occasionally manifest as sub-ages. Means even in Kali Yuga, where mode of ignorance is prominent, for certain period of time, mode of goodness becomes prominent. So even in winter, on few days, it is little more sunny. We keep sweating. It's like that. So within one yuga also, the symptoms and qualities of other yugas could manifest for a little while. Because of the presence of great devotees, sometimes in Kali Yuga also, such a experience may be there. So the three modes of nature are present everywhere and in everything. But the predominant mode or combination of modes determines the general characteristics of any material phenomenon. Next. So Satya Yuga is goodness prominent. Treta Yuga, passion is prominent. Dwapara Yuga, it's a combination of ignorance and passion. Kali Yuga is predominantly in ignorance. But other ages also will manifest in these ages as a sub-factor. Now Satya Yuga. In general, that is given. Even in Kali Yuga also, sometimes, even within a person also, in the antahkarana of a single person, different kinds of modes manifest at different times. Okay, in our buddhi, ahankar, and sometimes we may think that we are servants. So somebody, pure devotee is giving a class and he's just banging on, okay, you are not the controller, you are not this body. Sometimes our mode of goodness will manifest for a while. Then when we are back to our work, then passion may take over. So this will happen.
So Satya Yuga. Prabhavanti yada sattve manobuddhindriyani cha tada krita yugam vidyat jnane tapasiyad ruchihi.
When the mind, intelligence and senses are solidly fixed in the mode of goodness, that time should be understood as Satyayuga, the age of truth. People then take pleasure in knowledge and austerity.
Next, Treta Yuga. Here passion is prominent. Yada karma sukam yeshu bhaktir yashasi dehinam tada treta rajo vrittir iti janihi buddhiman.
O most intelligent one, when the conditioned souls are devoted to their duties but have ulterior motives and seek personal prestige, you should understand such a situation to be the age of Treta, in which the functions of passion are prominent.
We could relate these qualities with the qualities Krishna mentioned in 25th chapter. 25th only, right? Modes of material nature. 24 is Sankhya Yoga, 25 is modes of material nature. So there, the qualities of modes of passion, then ignorance and goodness, they are all mentioned. Now, these yugas are, in these yugas, those qualities are more prominent. So some of these, seeking, you know, prestige, having ulterior motives, some of these are the qualities of mode of passion. They are manifesting prominently in Treta Yuga. 29th. Yada lobhastva santushto vanodam bhodhamatsaraha karmanam chapi kamyanam dvaparam tadrajastamaha.
When greed, dissatisfaction, false pride, hypocrisy and envy becomes prominent, along with the attraction for selfish activities, such a time is the age of Dwapara, dominated by the mixed modes of passion and ignorance.
30th verse. Yada maya nritam tandram nidra himsa vishadanam shokamoho bhayam dainyam sakalistamasa smritaha.
When there is a predominance of cheating, lying, sloth, sleepiness, violence, depression, lamentation, bewilderment, fear and poverty, that age is Kali, the age of the mode of ignorance.
So he came till Kali Yuga, and from 31 to 43 he will describe various qualities of Kali Yuga people. Tasmat kshudra drisho martyaha kshudra bhagya mahashanaha kavino vittahinascha svairnyascha striyo satihi.
Because of the bad qualities of the age of Kali, human beings will become short-sighted, unfortunate, gluttonous, lustful and poverty-stricken. The woman becoming unchaste will freely wander from one man to the next.
So gluttonous means excessively greedy. So these are the qualities of Kali Yuga in general. So they have short-sightedness, means they see the immediate benefit only. For example, somebody is, for example, Ashwatthama is so fearful, right? Immediately he releases Brahmastra. Just to overcome that fear of that moment, momentary fear, momentary danger, he is releasing Brahmastra that can, you know, destroy entire planet. So that's a short-sightedness. Far-sightedness means to see what would be the impact of my action overall, right? For example, Diti is there. So just to satisfy her momentary lust, she just forced Kashyapa to, you know, do that forbidden act, and then she gave birth to two demons who tormented people for a long time. Right? So that is called short-sightedness. When people don't see anything beyond their immediate benefit, that is called short-sightedness. Far-sightedness means to, you know, see a bigger picture, to see a bird's eye view. For example, Rukmini was there. Krishna was teaching Rukmini. Why did you marry me? I am like this, I am like that. Rukmini said, before I made this choice, I made an extensive universal search to come to this conclusion that you are my husband, best person to be the husband. And asatihi, woman will become asatihi, unchaste. Like that. So in the name of individual freedom and all, the unchastity would increase. Like that. So all these are prominently based on bodily conception.
If one identifies oneself with the body, right, and considers like oneself as a male or female or whatever, and acts according to that, that false ego will, you know, run the show, right, will guide his activities like that. Okay, next, 32nd. Dasyutkrishta janapada. Vedah Pashanda Dushitaha Rajan Rajanascha Praja Bhakshaha Sishnodara Paradvijaha.
Cities will be dominated by the thieves. The Vedas will be contaminated by speculative interpretations of atheists. Political leaders will virtually consume the citizens, and the so-called priests and intellectuals will be devotees of their bellies and genitals.
So dasyu utkrishtaha, predominated by thieves, janapadaha, and cities and places, villages will be dominated by thieves. Vedaha pashanda dushitaha. Vedas are contaminated by, you know, misrepresentation by the Vedas, by the pashandis, right? They explain things in a different way, and that becomes the truth, right? That becomes the benchmark. Right, somebody will just explain a scripture in certain way, and somehow if he gains popularity, that will continue for generations, and that contamination will. That's why Karna and Duryodhan, they are popular, right? Karna is hero, so that is the understanding given by somebody some generations back, and then it's continuing. So all this Vedaha Pashanda Dushitaha, wrong explanations. Karana. It's like Vedaha Pashanda Dushita, when the scriptures are explained in a wrong way, right, that will, for generations together, that wrong understanding might continue. Rajanascha Praja Bhakshaha, then Sishnodara Paradvijaha. So Rajas, about kings, political leaders, they will consume the citizens. They will not feed the citizens, they will consume them. Praja Bhakshaha. Sishna Udara Para Dvijaha. Dvijas, priests and intellectuals, they are Sishna Udara Para. We have Narayana Paraha, morning we were discussing there. This is Sishna Udara Paraha. They are just dedicated to dwelling and genitals. Next, some elaboration is given. Big and small thieves, some people employ some psychological tricks, all that. Next, 33 is about ashramas. Avruta Bhatavo Saucha Bhikshavas Chakutum Binaha Tapasvino Grama Vasa Nyasino Nasino Tyarthalu Lupa.
The brahmacharis will fail to execute their vows and become generally unclean. The householders will become beggars. The vanaprasthas will live in the villages, and the sannyasis will become greedy for wealth.
So this is the ashramas. About Kali Yuga ashramas. So these are little more elaborated in this. Brahmacharis is to celibate student life, then, but they fail to execute their vows. Then householders, they will become beggars. If someone goes to a householder and say, give us some donation for so and so temple and all, somebody should give me donation. So they will say like that. That is mentioned in this. So they are not so much willing to give donation. And there are sophisticated thieves. Right? Business people are like sophisticated thieves. They may not go into a house and then steal things. This is related to the previous verse. Rajanascha Praja Bhakshaha. No. Dasyu Utkrishta Janapada. So that is about, businessmen are like sophisticated thieves. Next. Yeah, Vanaprastas. People, instead of going into forest, they stay in villages and they advertise that we are so renounced. That is about Vanaprastas. Next. 34. Vanaprastas is supposed to be in forest, retired life. But they still live in villages. and comfortable living villages, and they think that householders should learn from me. That is also another quality. Grastas. that he says, like, if we ask for a donation, they will expect donation from us in return. Next, 34. To maintain their family, they have to go everywhere, you know, begging for things, jobs and other things. Prabhupada compares that begging for job, Prabhupada compares it to be dog, right, in one lecture. Next, 34th, about woman. Harasvakaya mahahara. Harasvakaya, bodies are small. Mahahara, ahara is big. We can see in big companies canteens. I was working in TCS, the canteen is so big. Right, every few minutes they want to eat something. Okay, every 1 hour some tea will come. Okay, every 2 hours something will, some snacks.
Bhuryapatya gata hriyaham. Shashvat kataka katuka bhashinya. Chauryamayo rusahasah.
Women will become much smaller in size, and they will eat too much and have more children than they can properly take care of and lose all shyness. They will always speak harshly and will exhibit qualities of thievery, deceit and unrestrained audacity.
Hare Krishna. 35th verse about businessmen. Panayishyanti vai kshudraah anapadyapi mamsyate. Kirataha kotakarina anapadyapi mamsyante vartam sadhu jugupsitam.
Businessmen will engage in petty commerce and earn their money by cheating. Even when there is no emergency, people will consider any degraded occupation quite acceptable.
So Apad dharma will become samanya dharma. No emergency, still they adopt to some means. Svartam sadhu jugupsitam. It's totally against, sadhu means good. Okay, it's against the good manners. No etiquette, no ethics, business ethics. 36th. Patim tyakshanti nirdravyam. Bhritya api akhilottamam. Bhrityam vipannam patayaha. Kaulam gascha payashvinai. This is about masters and servants.
Servants will abandon a master who has lost his wealth, even if the master is a saintly person of exemplary character. Masters will abandon an incapacitated servant, even if that servant has been in the family for generations. Cows will be abandoned or killed when they stop giving milk.
So basically, selfishness will increase, gratitude will decrease. So a master should be grateful to the servant for rendering, you know, so many services for many years. And a servant should be grateful to the master for maintaining him for many years. But when one of them would become unproductive, they are abandoned, like that. So there is no gratitude, there is no factor of gratitude between servants and masters. Cows, same thing. When cows are giving milk, they maintain. When the cows are not giving milk, they slaughter. Like that. Selfishness will increase in Kali Yuga. So if somebody is loyal to one company for many years, it is considered a fault in him. It's considered an impotency, or what is that called? Incompetency in him. So in Kali Yuga, disloyalty is appreciated more. Oh, in last 5 years I have changed 7 companies. Oh, that's great. So people will appreciate that better. 10 years I am working in the same company. You're bored, you're not getting any other job? They are not getting any other employees. 37th verse about married life.
Pitribhatr Suhrudnatin Hitva Saurata Sauhrudah Nanandrishyala Samvada Dinastraina Kalaunara.
In Kali Yuga, men will be wretched and controlled by women. They will reject their fathers, brothers, other relatives and friends, and will instead associate with the sisters and brothers of their wives.
Mm.
Thus their conception of friendship will be based exclusively on sexual ties.
Mm. Okay, next please read the translation, 38.
Uncultured men will accept charity on behalf of the Lord and will earn their livelihood by making a show of austerity and wearing a mendicant's dress. Those who know nothing about religion will mount a high seat and presume to speak on religious principles.
Mm.
In the age of Kali, people's mind will always be agitated. They will become emaciated by famine and taxation, my dear king, and will always be disturbed by the fear of drought. They will lack adequate clothing, food and drink, will be unable to properly rest, have sex or bathe themselves, and will have no ornaments to decorate their bodies. In fact, the people of Kali Yuga will gradually come to appear like ghostly, haunted creatures.
So these three verses are discussing about religion, dharma. So uncultured men will represent dharma. Although he doesn't know anything, he will sit and address a crowd, speaking about this is good, that is bad, all that. So this epidemic of bogus gurus, swamis, priests and so forth is explicitly described here. Next, nityam udvigna manaso durbhikshak karakarshitaha niranne bhu tale rajan anavrishti bhayaturaha. So this is something similar to manda samanda matayoha manda bhagya upadritaha prayena alpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge janaha. So Bhagavatam began with that verse and it's ending also with that verse almost. So in this age of Kali, people's minds will always be agitated, upadhritaha. So that is described here in 39 and 40. Next, 41 is about doing anything for wealth. Read.
In Kali Yuga, men will develop hatred for each other even over a few coins. Giving up all friendly relations, they will be ready to lose their own lives and kill even their own relatives.
Mm.
Men will no longer protect their elderly parents, their children or their respectable wives. Thoroughly degraded, they will care only to satisfy their own bellies and genitals.
Okay, next.
O king, in the age of Kali, people's intelligence will be diverted by atheism and they will almost never offer sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master of the universe. Although the great personalities who control the three worlds all bow down to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the petty and miserable human beings of this age will not do so.
Mm. So this is, he is slowly bringing to the potency of holy name. Actually, Parikshit Maharaj asked in the beginning verses, how can people be protected from this Kali Yuga, from the contamination of Kali Yuga? Now he is slowly bringing to that theme. From 44th verse onwards, the potency of Lord's holy name will be described. So here, 43rd and 44th verse in specific, they describe the habits of people after the first sandhya of Kali Yuga. So here, we should recite this verse 43 once. Kalaunarajan jagatam param gurum Trilokanana, Trilokanatha, Natapada Pankajam Prayena Martya Bhagavantamachutam Yakshyanti Pashanda Vibhinna Chetasaha. You read the translation, right?
Yeah.
So, in Kali Yuga, this atheism will increase. People will not be inclined to worship the Supreme Lord. And in this elaborate purport, prominently three, four themes are discussed.
You see, the first paragraph is about refuting impersonalism. Very beautiful lines mentioned there. This idea of an impersonal or formless absolute truth has serious logical flaws. Now, entire creation is existing, so many phenomena are happening, so many persons are interacting, but if one considers that the source of all this is an impersonal object, and that means absolute truth is impersonal, that is highly illogical. So that's how the concept of impersonalism is refuted in the first paragraph. Then in the next couple of paragraphs, this concept of this understanding of life comes from matter, that is refuted. How can life come from, say, an explosion of matter? Okay, then so much variety just manifested, right? So the since scientific observation of material elements indicates that the stuff of this world, material energy, is endlessly transformed into different stages and shapes, therefore one particular instance of material reality cannot be the ultimate source of all other things. So one particular instance of material reality cannot be the source of so much of variety. Next, the theory that the material world has always existed and is therefore the ultimate truth does not scientifically or even intuitively explain the source of consciousness. Where is this consciousness coming from if everything is matter? Even intuitively also it cannot explain, which is the most fundamentally real aspect of our existence. So that is one important sentence. Now, in the last paragraph, you see towards the end of 97th page, one beautiful concept is explained, that the absolute truth, the source of our personal consciousness, has consciousness and personality. This is as reasonable as saying that sun is cold and dark. Deny that absolute truth, the source of... If someone denies that absolute truth, the source of all our personal consciousness, he is impersonal, it is as good as saying that sun is cold. Okay, sun is dark. It's like that. So, God has a body, he has a form, he has a personality, he has consciousness, right? He has personal beauty and all. And someone will argue that... Oh, if you say that God also has a form, it would be limiting him. The refutation for that is, you forgot one important detail, one word you skipped. When you say if God also has a form, it would be limiting him. Yes, we also agree with you. If God also has a material form like you and me, then it would be limiting him. He will not have material form, but he will have spiritual form. Okay, now we can argue like that. You say if God also has a material form, it would be limiting him. That we agree. So God has a spiritual form and it is not limited like our form. Okay, he also has a form, but it is spiritual. But it is not limitedly spiritual. It is unlimited. So it is unlimited in quality, it is unlimited in quantity. The quality is purely spiritual, the quantity is unlimited. That is God. So that point is also mentioned. So but that's why, because people limit God by saying that he has no form, by saying that he has no qualities, no consciousness, he is not a person. So there is no inclination towards worshipping the personality of Godhead. So that is the main symptom, one of the main symptoms of Kali Yuga in 43rd verse. Right? Next, 44 to 48. So what is the first sandhya? Sandhya is like one period of, one portion of Kali Yuga, right? In Kali Yuga. How many years is not mentioned, bro? How many years? He just said first sandhya, the transition period. The number of years is not mentioned. So in that thing, next, from 44th verse onwards, we will have the potency of holy name. So this is the main section of this entire chapter, the potency of holy name.
Yannamadheyam priyamana aturah.
Yannamadheyam priyamana aturah.
Patanskalanva vivasho grunan puman.
Patanskalanva vivasho grunan puman.
Vimukta karma argala uttaman gatim.
Vimukta karma argala uttaman gatim.
Prapnoti yakshyanti natam kalau janah.
Terrified about to die, a man collapses on his bed. Although his voice is faltering and he is hardly conscious of what he is saying, if he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord, he can be freed from the reactions of his fruitive work and achieve the supreme destination. But still people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord.
So continuing from the last verse, how people are not inclined to worship the Lord. So here he says, holy name is very potential. Naam nama kari bahudani de sarva shaktis. So Krishna has invested all his energies within the holy name. Right, but people are not investing even a little portion of their energy in chanting that holy name. So that is mentioned in this verse. So holy name is actually effective in all yugas, not just Kali Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, it is even more relevant and more effective, because in Kali Yuga, people cannot go for any other method for perfection. They don't have any other capacity other than chanting holy name. They cannot do sacrifice, they cannot do elaborate deity worship, avoiding all offenses, and they cannot sit and meditate for 60,000 years. They hardly live for 60 years. So, and another important aspect here is, in other yugas also holy name is effective, but people don't take holy name seriously. They think they are overqualified. Right? Holy name as a process is less qualified compared to meditation for 60,000 years. How can I just attain perfection by chanting holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? They are complicated. They wanted a complicated process. But in Kali Yuga, people are so desperate, so incapable, that they can't go do anything beyond holy name. That's why holy name is the only way. No other way. Hare Rama Eva Kevalam. Kalau Nastyeva, 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 Gatiranyatha. So, next verse. Here he is giving the, in the 45th verse, or Sukadeva Goswami is giving the answer to this original question, which he asked in 12.3.16. Yeah. How the faults of Kali Yuga can be removed? That is 45th verse.
Pumsam kalikritan doshan.
Pumsam kalikritan doshan.
Dravya desha atma sambhavan.
Dravya desha atma sambhavan.
Sarvan harati chittastho.
Sarvan harati chittastho.
Bhagavan purushottamah.
Bhagavan purushottamah.
In the Kali Yuga, objects, places and even individual personalities are all polluted. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, however, can remove all such contamination from the life of one who fixes the Lord within his mind.
Lord will remove all that contamination. So in Kali Yuga, everything is contaminated. Objects, places, personalities, all are polluted. But Krishna can clean all that, right? Can remove all that contamination. One has to take holy names. And 46th verse is even more striking. Not only that Krishna would remove the pollution of Kali Yuga, he can remove the contamination or the effects of past sins of millions of lifetimes also, previous lifetimes also. That is mentioned in the 46th verse.
Shruta sankirtito dhyatah. Pujitaschadrito piva. Drinam dhunoti bhagavan.
Drinam dhunoti bhagavan.
Hrithstho janma yutashubham.
If a person hears about, glorifies, meditates upon, worships, or simply offers great respect to the Supreme Lord, who is situated within the heart, the Lord will remove from his mind the contamination accumulated during many thousands of lifetimes.
So for that, one needs to hear, glorify and meditate upon and worship the Supreme Lord. Then Lord will not only remove the contamination of Kali Yuga, but he will remove the contamination of previous lives also. 47th verse. And there is no other way of purification apart from this Lord's mercy, right? Which descends when one chants the holy names, right? There is, that is the only process that is mentioned in 47 and 48.
Yathahim nisthito vahinir durvarnam hanti dhatujam evam atmagato vishnur yoginam ashubhashayam.
Just as fire applied to the gold removes any discoloration caused by the traces of other metals, Lord Vishnu within the heart purifies the minds of the yogis.
Next, that is further explained in the 48th verse. Vidya tapa prada nirodha maitri tirthabhisheka vratadana japyaihi natyanta shuddhim labhate antaratma yatha hritisthe bhagavatyanante.
By one's engaging in the processes of demigod worship, austerity, breath control, compassion, bathing in holy places, strict vows, charity and chanting of various mantras, one's mind cannot attain the same absolute purification as that achieved when the unlimited personality of Godhead appears within one's heart.
So only bhakti yoga can purify the soul, not other yogas. That's why bhakti yoga is the eternal process. All this paramatma meditation and all may have come into existence after the creation, but bhakti yoga is an eternal process. There is no paramatma meditation in the spiritual world. So, and all other processes like breath control, compassion, bathing in holy places, vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phala pratishtam atyati tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param stham upaiti chatyam. So bhakti yoga purifies the soul nicely by the Lord's mercy. So now in the 49th verse he further says, tasmat sarvatmana rajan hridistham kuru keshavam mriyamano hyavahita tato yasi param gatim.
Therefore, O King, endeavor with all your might to fix the Supreme Lord Keshava within your heart. Maintain this concentration upon the Lord, and at the time of the death, you will certainly attain the Supreme Destination.
So this is the answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question in the end of first canto. What should a person who is about to die do? That is the duty. He is giving the answer. He is about to die now. He is giving that answer. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan means always he should do, right? And sarvatmana also like without, with all his endeavor, putting his all his vigor and zeal into his whatever he is doing. Hridistam kuru keshava, try to keep Supreme Lord in your heart. Right, meditate on him, remember him. Twameva vatsa shreya bhutya vatsalam. You remember? In Dhruva Maharaj's episode. Twameva vatsa shreya bhutya vatsalam. Mumukshubhir mrugya padavja paddhatim. Ananya bhave nija dharma bhavite. Manyasya vasthapya bhajasva purusham. She also says, manasya vasthapya bhajasva purusham. Keep the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his in your heart. And bhajasva. Perform devotional service unto him. He is also saying that same thing. Hridistham kuru keshavam mriyamano hyavahita tato yasi paramgatim. One will attain the supreme destination, paramgatim, by meditating on the Supreme Lord at the time of death. Okay? So, and maintain awareness at every moment also. Sarvatmana rajana. Next verse is 40, 50. Yeah, this image I kept because Bhishma was also meditating on Krishna at the time of death. 50th verse. Mriyamaner abhidheyo Bhagavan Parameshwaraham Atma Bhavam Nayatyanga Sarvatma Sarvasam Shreyaha.
My dear King, the personality of Godhead is the ultimate controller. He is the supreme soul and the supreme shelter of all beings. When meditated upon by those about to die, he reveals to them their own eternal spiritual identity.
So what is the result of such meditation at the time of death? One example is Ajamila. Ajamil meditated without attention. You meditate with attention, you will attain supreme destination. So the result is mentioned here. Atma bhavam nayatyanga sarvatma sarvasamshraya. When meditated upon by those who are about to die, Lord will reveal their own spiritual identity. Okay, what is it? Your identity is not as a king, not a sage, not a ruler, anything like that. Your original identity will be revealed by the Lord at the time of death if you meditate on him. Now the most brilliant aspect of Krishna, of holy name, Krishna's holy name, is mentioned in the 51st verse. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti heko mahan gunah kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param vrajet.
My dear King, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom.
So a Saragrahi devotee will see this. Essence seeker. Parikshit Maharaj was an essence seeker. That's why he allowed Kali Yuga to flourish. Right? So after allowing Kali Yuga, not flourish, to take shelter. He gave shelter to Kali Yuga. Oh, there is one good thing in him. And he's asking about the qualities of Kali Yuga now. He is the person who dealt with Kali Yuga. He is the person who facilitated for the stay of Kali Yuga, right? In where all four regulative principles are broken and where gold is there. He said, you can stay here. And now he's asking what he do in the places which I permitted him to stay. So after explaining all the qualities of Kali Yuga, Sukadeva Goswami is discussing this. Kali is dosha nidhi. It's an ocean of faults, right? But there is one good quality. Kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangaha param vrajet. The ultimate perfection, promotion to transcendental kingdom can happen just by chanting the holy name in this age. Just like if there is one able king, he can kill unlimited thieves. Right? We have seen in Vena episode also. Thieves are flourishing because there is no proper king. Right? Because a king's presence will subdue all the thieves. Similarly, when holy name appears, all the thieves will be destroyed. Like that. That is a brilliant spiritual quality of this age. Then, 52. Kriteya dhyayato Vishnum Tretayam yajato makhaihi Dvapare paricharyayam Kalau tadhari kirtanat.
Whatever results was obtained in Satyuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwapar Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in the purport, few other references which has a similar theme, that whatever you get in the previous ages by doing other processes, you will get in Kali Yuga also, by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra specifically. So although it is not mentioned in the verse, Hare Kirtana is only mentioned. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is there in the translation because that is Prabhupada's style. And
it has a reference to Kali Santaran Upanishad also. This Hare Krishna Mahamantra is mentioned. Iti Shodashakam Nannam Kali Kalmashanasanam. So it is in line with that. In conclusion, massive propaganda should be made all over the world to induce people to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, by which human society can be rescued from the dangerous ocean of age of Kali. Preaching. So that's how our Sukadeva Goswami answered some of the questions of Parikshit Maharaj, which he asked in 16th and 17th verses. He asked, how can Kali Yuga people rid themselves of this contamination? He answered it now. Then about yugas and different ages, yugas and their special qualities, duration and destruction and movements of time. So some of these he answered. So now destruction part he will answer now. Right, in the fourth chapter. We will discuss fourth chapter after a small break.